welcome, friends, to Voices of the Sacred Feminine, whether you're across town or across the globe. And I want to thank the group Damcar for the use of their song, Son of the Widow, opening tonight's show. A little snippet there, and I'll try to play the entire song sometime before the end of the evening. Well, if you're new to the show, I'm your hostess, Karen Tate, and I'm the author of two acclaimed books, Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations, and what I call sometimes its bookend, Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirthing Goddess on Planet Earth. I invite you to check out my website at karentate.com. And learn more about my books and workshops, our sacred Sunday services, and stuff like that. While you're there, please take advantage of the free downloadable meditations. They're my gift to you, my listeners, advocates of Goddess. In fact, the meditation I'm going to do a bit later in the show can be found there. But before we get started tonight with our sacred salon themed The Greening of the Earth, I'd like to introduce something new I'm trying on our monthly sacred salons. I've invited astrologer and priestess Flash Silvermoon to come on the show and share her astro flash for the month with us. She'll let us know what's happening with those celestial bodies in the heavens and how it affects our lives. We'll get to my chat with Flash after just a few brief announcements. Let's see. First, we have here, I want to tell you about the Glastonbury Goddess Conference. Kathy Jones emailed me and asked that I give a plug to the conference there. The 2012 Glastonbury Goddess Conference is celebrating the great, abundant, life-giving Mother Goddess at her season of Lammas. Between Sunday, 29 July, and Monday, the 6th of August, 2012, the Glastonbury Goddess Conference is in its 17th year, and it's well-known as an amazing transformational goddess experience. It takes place over the 5 days I just mentioned. It also has 9 fringe events. Priestesses, presenters, participants journey together through sacred ceremony, talks, workshops, performances, and sacred drama, moving more and more deeply into the heart of the mysteries of the Great Mother on the sacred Isle of Avalon. Together, they'll explore who she is in our lives and her generous gifts of life, fertility, love, creativity, and abundance. So if you'd like to find out more about the Goddess Conference, go to their website of the same name, goddessconference.com. Also, I'd like you to know, if you're in the Southern California area, that the Goddess Temple of Orange County in Irvine is going to be celebrating their spring equinox with Alexandra Bologna, March 17th at 7 p.m. There's going to be complimentary wine and cheese pre-party, $20 per woman. I don't know if you know Alexandra, but she's very well known for her her healing chants and drumming, and she's going to take you on a musical journey to the ancient sacred sites of the great Mother Earth through her performance. She's an internationally renowned singer, percussionist, and dancer. So for more information about that, I recommend you go to the website for goddesstempleoforangecounty.com. Let's see. Also at the Goddess Temple, they're doing something kind of new over there. Fellas can now come to the Goddess Temple on Wednesday nights. They do something called Goddesses and Heroes, music, libations, videos, poetry. Every Wednesday evening, they're doing their Spiritual Life Club. It starts at 6 o'clock for social hour. 7 o'clock, they're doing an all-faith spiritual circle for women and men. Again, that's at the Goddess Temple of Orange County. Or their phone number is 949-651-0564. I also want to tell you again, if you're in Southern California, at the Getty Villa in Malibu, starting this month, there is an Aphrodite and Eros exhibit. You'll discover what I told you in my book on the sacred places of Aphrodite, that she was so much more than just a boudoir babe. So anyway, go to the Getty Villa website and check it out. Besides the exhibit that's going to be there for, I think, a little more than a month, they're also giving some presentations in the evening and some workshops, and it sounds like a lot of fun. I've actually signed up to go myself. Next week's guests are Diane Paxson. She's going to be discussing her new book called The Way of the Oracle, Recovering the Practices of the Past to Find Answers for Today. She's my first guest, and after Diane, I'm going to have Denise Dumores on the show. We're going to be talking about Victorian occultists. I hope you think that sounds like fun, because I'm looking forward to it. And don't forget Sacred Sundays at the Green Man in North Hollywood once a month, the fourth Sunday of every month, if you want to connect to universal truths, learn how to live a goddess-inspired life, make time for sacred space and connect with deity, maybe help our important paradigm shift reach critical mass, and you know what, even be a fly in the ointment of patriarchy. Join us. I'm one of the Sacred Sunday priestesses. It's open to men and women and well-behaved children. For more info, you can get that on my website or email me at KarenTate108@ca.rr.com. And finally, remember, you can catch any show from the archives. You do not have to listen live, but you can listen via iTunes if that makes it more convenient. I know many of you email me and say that it does because you listen to me when you're on the treadmill or washing dishes or, you know, doing something that, you know, you can't sit at the computer to do. So thank you for that. And if you can't tune in live and have questions, you can always email me your questions several days before showtime. And as always, thank you for your input and feedback. You, my listeners, are gas in my tank. So stay tuned in. Call in if you like. The number to call is 718-766-4662. So without further delay, I want to thank Flash for her patience and invite her to join me on the show. Hey, Flash.
Hey, Karen. Thanks so much for inviting me here, and I love that comment about being a fly in the ointment of patriarchy. Blessed, blessed be, may we all be thus and such.
You know, especially with all the stuff that's in the news these days, I mean, you know, Republicans just want to pull we women back into the dark ages. You know, they are the epitome of the patriarchy, and darn, you know, who would have thought we would be refighting these battles all over again, huh?
I know. And, you know, a lot of the astrology kind of makes us feel a little bit like it's back in the 60s in a good way. But, you know, there was also the reason we were raising so much hell back then, and it was because of idiots like that.
Well, you know, we talked before tonight's show, you know, I'm looking forward to you joining me on Thursday nights and, you know, maybe telling listeners, you know, what's happening astrology-wise so that we can maybe get a sense of what's going on. And I guess what I'd like to ask is the stuff that we're seeing with the Republicans, this, you know, did that show up somehow in the stars? I mean, could we have predicted it? I mean, I know it's supposed to be a time of rebellion and revolution, but this feels like something different. Or,
yeah.
I don't know, you tell me.
Well, you know, the rebellion started when Uranus went into Aries about a year or so ago, and after a bit, it's been trying to move towards a square exactly to Pluto, and it doesn't get more rebellious than that. I mean, it's the you know, all the stuff around the world with people in the streets first in Egypt and then moving like a great big tidal wave, really, of rebellion was no accident.
Okay.
Now, that being said, you know, sometimes when things move in one direction, it creates a polarity. And that could be, you know, there's so much moving towards change, and not liberal change, radical change. Let's turn the whole thing over. Let's not put any more Band-Aids on, which I'm all for that idea, because there's been too much like, oh, yes, we're going to have this new world, and then instead we get sold a bill of goods,
right,
and we don't get what we think we're getting.
So did I understand you right? In other words, what you're saying is because of the upheaval in the Middle East and maybe even some of the Occupy movement here in the United States, that's sort of created maybe this this reaction that you know that we're seeing from the conservatives. It's almost as if they're so fearful, you know, they want to retreat to the past, that you know that they, because they're afraid of what the future may bring.
Well, I think that that's possible. I think there's more to it than that, but I think certainly that they've been, in their way, allowed that reaction, if you will, by the conservative element, because it's like, well, we've got to do something. We can't let them go all the way with this thing, you know, God forbid.
You're talking about, like, the Occupy movement here.
Yeah,
or,
but also
okay.
There is so much upheaval all around the world.
Yeah.
And there is a desire to have this new world order that keeps the very few very, very powerful. And, you know, that has been shown. You've got Pluto being in Capricorn, and it really lets us know that we are in a plutocracy. And that's when, you know, if you remember a while back, before this past election, there was so much fundamentalism and there was so much right-wing religiosity. And that's what was being talked about, and everybody was all up in a roar about all that stuff. And then suddenly, right about the time of the 2008 election, the religious part got kind of quiet, and it was all about economics. And that's when Pluto moved into Capricorn, which takes this whole economic thing very, very seriously. But you also have Pluto getting a hold of bastions of patriarchy and saying, excuse me, there's sexual abuse going on over there. Excuse me, but, you know, the king isn't wearing any clothes. Excuse me, these sports figures are raping children, and so on and so forth. And then we got hit by waves of Neptune. And it's these outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, that really bring in the different energy when they change signs, because they move slowly, very, very slowly. And Pluto going into Capricorn was the first big shift, and that would have been a couple of years ago. And then Uranus
going in.
Like
maybe around the time Obama took office or
yes.
something?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. I'm trying to remember exactly what the aspects were, but there was the same aspect that occurred when the election day was that year, occurred again on his inauguration, and it kind of just heralded that he would be the one.
Okay, okay.
When Uranus went into Aries practically to the day, we had the Arab Spring.
Hmm.
And that kind of lit the fuse in a way. Neptune has gone in and out of Pisces for a couple of years, but as of February 3rd, it's in for good.
You mean of February 3rd of last month?
This February 3rd.
Now, what's the significance of that? Because I don't know all the astrology jargon.
Yeah.
What will that create?
Well, what it created when it first started to be there for a while was the BP oil spill. First Chiron went in, then Neptune went in to Pisces. And Pisces is ruled by Neptune. So water, 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 water. And with Chiron there, there's a finger, a big finger being pointed at what can happen to our water. And I remember everyone was like going crazy. Oh, when are they going to plug the hole? I looked ahead at when Neptune was going to change signs back into Aquarius for a little while. And I said, right around there. That's what they're going to allegedly plug the hole, which,
mm-hmm.
of course, it didn't really happen, but that was when they were going to say it happened. And what do you know? Holy Neptune, they plugged the hole, so to speak. And so it was just very interesting.
Well, it seems like, you know, you're able to sort of, you know, really accurately pinpoint,
yes.
You know, the astrology with actual happenings. All right, so let's, you know, unless there's some other instances where you want to make those correlations. Let's maybe talk about where we're at for March, and maybe if you have any ideas about what's ahead, and I have to tell you, it might be too soon, but I'm really curious if you have any insights into what's going to happen with the Republican convention and if Obama's going to win the election again. But anyway, so
yeah, well, I'll say I'm pretty sure Obama's going to win, and the convention should be a bit of a joke. The thing about the election, though, that's going to be really weird is Mercury will be retrograde on Election Day. And for those of you who don't know, a retrograde means the planet seems to move backwards. Doesn't really, but it does appear to. And what that creates is the movement of thought, because Mercury rules thought and communication and electronics and a lot of other things. And when it goes retrograde, things tend to go in before they come out. So things go very out of kilter, and you rarely have the real answer. You don't have all the information. So retrograde, Mercury, oh my goodness, with elections being stolen right and left and all manner of trickery going on around in politics, I call it, there ain't no telling how this is going to exactly play out, except that it's going to be weird, and I would venture that we won't know right away who the true winner is. Or if we do, it may be a lie.
But you think Obama's going to win?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, how could he lose?
Well,
and I'm not saying because he's so great. I'm just saying they're so poor.
Well, yeah, but what worries me, Flash, is there's so many people that are brainwashed by Fox News. They still think he's a socialist Muslim.
Yeah.
I mean, really, there's so much disinformation. There's so many people voting, over ideas like birth control and abortion rather than their economic interests. I mean, they still haven't figured it out that Republicans are all for the 1%.
Right.
That ignorance scares the heck out of me,
And it should. It is scary, but I still think that the Republicans are making such a piss poor showing for themselves. They even amongst their own party, they can't really drum up someone they love.
Right, right. Well, and maybe there are even sane Republicans out there who think, my God, could we have one of these candidates with their finger on the button?
Right.
I mean, could we really trust these people not to just, run madly into a war with Iran so they can all, increase the budget for the military-industrial complex and increase their portfolios?
Yeah.
People have to know that, the first thing they'll do is figure out a way to go to war. Anyway. Okay, so you think Obama's going to pull it out some kind of a way, but it's going to be kind of dicey.
Yeah, I do. I hate to say, I think they're trying real hard to go to war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about Neptune buzzing around in the heavens and being so strong, it's when a planet is in its own sign, as Neptune being in Pisces is, it makes it extra strong. And the things that come with that energy are strengthened. And so it's about fluidity, and it doesn't give war such a great big thrust. However, Neptune does rule secrecy and misinformation and lies. And so, in all likelihood, how it's affecting the political scene and war is that everything's being set up to go to war, very much on the sly.
So we're getting conned again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm afraid so. And always, though, what I like to remind others and myself when things look really horrible, that we all, regardless of what the stars say, regardless of what the politicos say, we still have a spiritual ability to make shift happen. And I consider my job in this world is to raise the vibe for the tribe. And it's an expression I've come to that really, really fits. And Neptune also is the most spiritual planet of the zodiac. And so in its own sign, the more spiritual we get, the more we focus on a positive imaging for ourselves and then follow it up with practice. You know, use both sides of the brain, get the mind focused on the positive, and put some spiritual practice behind that to really gather many, many people, many minds to do, make it light work, to be light workers.
So is that something that's manifesting in the stars too? I mean, this talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah. What I'm saying is because Neptune creates such a huge spiritual presence, you know, we can feel as though we're part of a larger whole. It's easier for that to happen.
Now, is that like... I guess I'm asking about the time frame for that. Is that currently and into like a long time in the future, or just for a few months or something?
It's going to be for a long time in the future, but it's just starting.
Okay. Okay.
And it'll be, you know, stronger right now than in other times, but it's going to come in waves. And it's a time where our psychic abilities are getting stronger as well, and I have been absolutely seeing that in my work in ways that I didn't expect. I've done my work for 42 years, and you know, you always hope you improve, but this is in leaps and bounds. And so people are being awakened spiritually like never before. So that's the real upside of it, and it's important that everybody really pay attention to their intuition, because there is such secrecy and such lies and manipulation that you're going to have to keep your ear to the ground psychically and learn to really trust that first impulse, because the ability to know things is going to become more and more important rather than just believe what is spoken on the news.
Okay. All right. Well, we will keep our finger on the pulse of all of this every month as you come back to the show, you know, on the first Thursday of the month, if that's okay with you.
Sure. Let me just say that a lot of people did these real breakthrough kind of leaps of faith, if you will, over the last several months and even the last year. And that felt really good and important, and it was. But there's also a lot of people really feeling the transition, and that can be scary to some people who, I leaped. Uh-oh, now into what? You know, and then some people really need their world to be very tidy, and things just aren't that tidy right now for a lot of people. So you have to be a little comfortable with that free fall and try to bolster yourself with your spirituality or anything that you can kind of hold on to that feels like a good grounding for you, because it can be scary for some floating around in the cosmic soup.
Right.
And, you know, we're all in transition, and some people don't do that well if they don't have a clear boundary of where to take that next step. And for others, that can just feel like a grand adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, I sort of fall into the latter category. Interestingly, about a year ago, I started studying Kabbalah, and that has really helped me move by leaps and bounds. So I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of it felt like every 3 months I would make like a major shift, you know, and it just sort of feels like that keeps happening. And so maybe, so that's what you're saying is happening to a lot of people on a really big scale.
Yes. And, you know, the whole rebelliousness, some of the 90% rebel, and they get into the streets worldwide, raise all kinds of hell, and they, because they're feeling excluded from ever getting even a nibble of the old cosmic carrot, the American dream. And some of that group rebel against the inequity, and they're carrying that Uranus and Aries flag with that spirit of high adventure and begin to discover ways of having true participatory democracy within their ranks. So that's exciting. Then some join just to belong to something and get swept up in the Neptunian wave where the edges get a little blurred, and at least they belong to something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's even within that one subject matter, there's the manifestation of all the different planets.
Hmm. Well, and I'm wondering, maybe this is too specific a question, but can you see or predict, from the astrology, anything about the Occupy movement, or they're just sort of a bigger whole?
Well, I think they're a bigger whole, and I think that, of course, they're not being reported anymore unless there's a big arrest somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't stay on the social networks, we really don't get a sense of what is happening with them. And so there's that Neptunian hidden business.
Mm, yeah.
But I think that what they're doing is they're starting to take steps to have concrete action. They're taking over buildings. They're actually putting some power back in the hands of the people by taking over homes that are going to be foreclosed, and the bank thinks it over, and they get the people in and make deals. So,
well,
and that's just one part.
Well, and for my listeners' benefit, if they don't know, one place I have been following, well, actually the only place I've been getting much information on them is through Keith Olbermann on Current TV. He usually carries what's happening with them. He just had something yesterday with Matt Taibbi from, I think that he's a writer for The New Yorker, and I think they're supposed to be getting a building in Manhattan since,
fabulous,
you know, Bloomberg, you know, kicked them off of the square. So yeah, that's another place to find out, you know. But
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. You know, it's so refreshing to see people rebelling and not just going numb.
Yeah, I've been waiting for so long for us to hit the streets. I mean,
yes.
I got this hit while you were talking, going back to some sort of hinky stuff happening with the Mercury retrograde on Election Day. You know, I don't know why I thought this flash, but I'm thinking, I wonder if it's going to somehow be a three-party race.
I wonder if
that could be the weirdness, you know, that makes it a little, you know, unclear what's happening. I don't know where that came from.
I think that's a good possibility, but I don't think it'll stop there.
Okay.
I think it's going to be many different kinds of weird.
Okay.
Oh, I do need to make people a bit aware. March 22nd, and you've probably seen some of it online, that there is concern about another big earthquake.
Ah, where?
Well, first they're talking between Alaska and New Zealand, but there's, as some other people are getting a little closer in on it, there's many, many eruptions going on in the Ring of Fire, particularly around the Japanese areas, and there's concern that that could be re-energized there.
Mm, poor
and,
Japanese. Haven't
yes,
they suffered enough?
I know, and their own government won't take care of them either.
Yeah, I have a friend who actually teaches over there. She's an American that goes back and forth constantly all year, and she said the corporations are in total control over there, and the people really just are not being told what's going on.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. I guess I had more hope, you know, that the Japanese government would be a little bit different than that, but. You know, there goes my naivete, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the big governments just lie.
Yeah.
You know, they just do their, in the interest of their own largeness and their own politics, and not really interested too very much in their own people. And
yeah.
I'm sure there's personal exceptions in the mix.
Yeah.
But by and large, that's the way that it's looking. but there could be some real danger on that day. So I would encourage everyone to keep their ears to the ground and also send some very cooling prayers to that area.
Okay.
If it could happen in Alaska, if it does, it'll be very, very large because nothing's been happening there for a while. Wherever you've got the little ones popping off, you've got more relief.
Well, and you also wonder, too, if that would also create, you know, if something happened around Alaska, if that would be a tsunami that would affect the West Coast.
Yes, it is a concern.
Yeah.
It's definitely a concern. You can go to my Facebook page. I have a couple of things there that have some nice video on it and information about that subject.
And would it just, is it just Flash Silver Moon?
Yeah, that's just, you can friend me there on Facebook. And you can come to my website, too, flashsilvermoon.com, although that particular information's not there. But my Astroflash is.
Okay. Well, and before you go tonight, I want you to tell listeners more about your, you know, because you're an artist, you have a tarot deck, you have a radio show, and we'll get to all of that. But was there any more you wanted to tell us about what might be happening in the month of March besides Beware the 22nd?
Yeah. We're also going to be having a beautiful grand trine in earth signs. And I don't like to use too much astrological jargon because it distances people, but let's just say it should be very, very fortuitous economically and personally. It should settle things a bit and make people start to feel like that we really are in an economic upswing.
So is it? Do you have a rough
date
for that?
Yeah, I do. I think that's the 13th of March.
Okay.
And
so good financial news.
Yes.
I mean, are you talking like more for the country or for individuals or just our collective psyche or something?
All of it.
Okay.
The death of Whitney Houston and many other artists having to do with drugs and alcohol is another wave of energy that's come to the fore, and it's going to really be something we reckon with over the next several months. There may be more big losses that way. And, you know, it needs to be really looked at as an illness, and the problem of not the heroin addicts and not the coke freaks, but we've got a real problem with those kind of pills that people can get very easily.
Yeah, prescription drugs, yeah.
And then, oh, I got a bad headache. Oh, let me just have a little cup of wine. And, okay, boom.
Yeah.
Not even meaning to hurt themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have a light shined on that because Neptune does rule addictions as well. So that's going to be big. Astrologer Eric Francis said something that I really loved. He said, I'm concerned about how and why we have taken some of the greatest con jobs in modern history so casually. Fake wars, stolen elections, massive systemic heists of public funds by the people who are charged with guarding them. And
so you think there's going to be some sort of a reckoning there? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that within the year, we're going to see some of the culprits behind bars.
Hmm. Well, I wonder if Obama's going to make that part of his campaign.
If he's smart, he will.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
that would
know,
even tap into probably Tea Party people and stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's just not clear how long his tether is, if you know what I mean.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because he needs a lot of these people to help finance him, you know, to go up against probably Mitt Romney and an unlimited money from all the corporations on the right, you know.
Yes.
Who want to turn us into a feudal society working for slave wages.
Yeah, it has the potential to go pretty sour. Let me just give you the dates for people who want to know. The Mercury retrograde starts March 11th. And it ends on April 5th. Best advice, don't start anything new after March 11th if you can help it. And if you don't care if it's just temporary, no problem. Do whatever you want. If you want permanence, though, don't make a big change between March 11 and April 5.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay.
And it's also a good time. You don't want to buy, like, a computer or a car. You don't want to put your name on the dotted line for a marriage or a home or anything, you know, unless you don't care if it's temporary.
Okay. All right.
And it's a great time for just getting things in order, and you may find that some money that so-and-so has owed you for 3 years and you thought it was gone for good shows up.
Okay.
And little things pop up out of the black holes.
Okay. Okay, good.
So that's some good news there.
All right.
And it's, you know, the Redemption Song by Bob Marley really has some profound words in there about emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. And with retrograde Mercury and retrograde Mars, we're going to be needing to do just that, to really liberate our minds and how we think. Because one thing I've noticed, and maybe you have as well, that the karmic wheel is turning way faster, and our ability to manifest things, good or bad, is also very, very quick. If we start to think, oh, I hope this doesn't happen, I hope it doesn't happen, oh, bam, you can make that happen very, very quickly. Likewise, when you're thinking very positively about an outcome, you can also manifest that quicker, because we're in a quickening time and everything is just moving faster.
Okay.
So it's good to get the mind under control in a good way.
Okay.
Now, the Ides of March will also be, that's when this grand trine in Earth will be happening. That'll be including Jupiter and Venus conjoined. So it's going to be a very good month for expansive feelings in the heart.
Okay.
And love energy and sensuality. You know, it really could be a very make love, not war time.
All right.
For those who are wanting that.
Okay.
And, of course, we have the equinox on the 20th. There'll be a lot of planets in Aries by then. And
What will that mean?
Well, you know, again, it's going to bring us into a more explosive time. You know, on the 22nd,
feels like lay low under the covers till March 20th and then hold on. Is that kind of it?
Yeah, I would say that's not bad.
Okay.
And, you know, I think we're being asked really not to drink the Kool-Aid,
mm-hmm.
and instead to make sure that everyone has pure, cool water to quench their thirst. I mean, I think that that's some of the best ideas that we can have of using the highest aspect of Neptune in Pisces. You know, don't take the poison. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't drink the lies.
Mm-hmm,
but work
mm-hmm.
to create a better place where everyone has a drink.
Right, absolutely.
That's safe, that's healthy, that's pure. And, you know, thinking of water on all the most spiritual levels as well.
Okay.
And it's spring. You know, it's going to be spring. So it's a good time for our clutter clearing and just moving everything out of the way that's dying and not useful. And that's a great thing to do with the Mercury retrograde, to just let it, to move it out so there's more room for the new and the healthy to move in.
So you can focus on that during that
absolutely.
March 11 to April
yeah.
5, clearing out things that don't serve you.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you're making ready for when Mercury goes direct, you've got the big push. You know, for instance, if you were trying to work on a book or
mm-hmm.
something, this would be a great time to edit and to line up where you're going to send it and all that kind of stuff that's preparatory work for any project. And you get it lined up, and then when Mercury goes direct, maybe give it a couple of days and then launch.
I see. Okay. All right.
Because, you know, we can't just, you know, drop dead for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and not
yeah.
do anything. And there's
yeah.
never such a thing as nothing good to do. But there's always a good way to use the energy. Otherwise, you know, you wind up paddling upstream.
Right, right. Yeah, everything's more difficult. And
yeah, why have it be difficult when there's a perfectly good use of the time?
Yeah, yeah, to just sort of do the internal stuff. Absolutely, it makes sense.
You know, a good astrologer doesn't say, oh my goodness, you know, the sky is falling, and oh, this is going to be a horrible day, nothing we can do about it. Well, that's just wrong. You know, there's always things to be done, and it doesn't always seem as though there's a pathway to make the change, but I think it's always worth trying.
Well, and like you said, you know, even during the Mercury retrograde, there's a way to learn how, you know, that you learn how to deal with the energy, you know, rather than pushing that boulder uphill, you know, you do stuff that, like you said, you know, you've already explained it, I don't have to repeat it, but, you know, you just adjust accordingly, you know, according to the energy. That way you're going with the flow, you know, the force is with you,
right.
You know, rather than, you know, you're making things more difficult for yourself.
Yes, and couldn't we all use an easier path?
Absolutely. Well, does that about take us through March, Flash?
I'd say so, yeah. And I, you know, I would just say that there'll be some people really getting panicky during this time just because they're really in a state of free fall. And so, you know, I encourage all of you who do spiritual work to pay attention to the people around you, the ones you love, and make sure they're not going through this without a helping hand and a good word. And a spiritual life jacket is what I call it, that people need to put one on and start to work with their own spirituality and be out in nature, cling to the things that matter.
Okay.
That, and it can be a testing time of one's faith as well.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, let's let our listeners get to know you a little bit, Flash.
Sure.
Well, you know, Flash and I connected a while back when we were both on Passionate Internet Voices Radio, and Flash is still there with the show. Why don't you mention your show, Flash, and tell listeners how they can also hear you if they'd like.
Sure. The show is called What the Animals Tell Me. And one of the hats that I wear is I'm a very big animal lover, and this I'm an animal communicator as well as doing healing work with alternative medicines on animals. So I chose to do this show so that I could both give people tips how to understand their animals, how to really learn to communicate, which is really all about listening, and also to have other guests on from time to time who can really open up the world of animals and give good animal news, too. So they can find me every Wednesday night from 8:30 to 9 p.m. That's Eastern Standard. And it's internetvoicesradio.com. And should you forget that, just go to my website, which is flashsilvermoon.com. That's easier to remember. And you can find out any of those details there as well.
You probably do readings and charts for people.
Yes, I
as
do.
Well. Okay.
Yes, I've been working longest as a psychic and a reader, and I've got my own tarot deck, the Wise Woman Tarot Deck, and you can find all that stuff on my website as well. And astrology, I did 1 year less than tarot, so it's like a big 41 years of doing astrological work and counsel. And it can be used so functionally and amazingly to really get you in the right place to read your own roadmap for life. So I love astrology that way.
Can you give us an example of how, you know, like maybe pick one thing that's happened in your life that, you know, astrology really sort of prepared you or, you know, was prophetic so you were in a better headspace for something, or you predicted something was happening because of that work, your psychic work or your astrology?
Sure. Oh, goodness. So many things, like which story to pick. But I would say early on, one of the very useful things that I discovered about astrology. I'm Pisces, and my partner then and now, after 30 years, we regrouped, and I'm a Pisces, and she's an Aries. And I was basically treating her as if she was a Pisces. That does not work. The thing about astrology that's so wonderful is it really tells you and helps you understand who you are and who the other person is, too. It can really help with relationships. She did not need to be treated like a Pisces. She needed me to treat her like an Aries, which was with a much firmer kind of hand, in a way, when we were both 21 years old, 22 years old. And it made all the difference in the world when I started actually talking to an Aries instead of a Pisces. And it was like, oh my goodness, it was like the light went on in my head. We're not all the same. What feels like normal for me and regular is not necessarily the same for everybody. It's just true for me.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, using the moon is a really good clue for understanding what another person needs on a daily basis. And if you just learn that one piece, it can really bring more harmony to your life.
When you say using the moon, you mean using their astrological sign. Okay.
Understanding, like for instance, what's your moon sign?
I'm a Virgo.
Virgo moon?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know I'm a Virgo, but...
That's your sun sign.
Oh, I have a Libra rising. Maybe
yes.
That's the moon sign.
No.
No.
No, the three big things are the sun, the moon, and the rising.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what my moon is then.
Okay, that would be a very good thing for you to know because it explains so many things. Just that one piece, it explains how you like to nurture, how you like to be nurtured, your relationship with your mother, and what you like on a daily basis.
Hmm. Well, you know, I've had my chart done. I'm sure it's on there. I'm going to have to go back and look. But, you know, I've always just focused on the sun sign, you know?
Well, and that's being a solar person in a solar world. But it wasn't always that way.
Okay.
And it'll help you understand your female side even more.
Okay. All right.
By
learning that
piece.
Well, you've intrigued me now. When after the sacred salon tonight, I'm going to go dig out those old charts and see what I am.
So, you're a Virgo sun and a Libra rising?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't know your chart right off just from that, but I would say probably that there's been some interesting changes within your relationship this past year or so.
Well, interesting in the sense, you know, like I told you, we had been taking Kabbalah classes, and that really sort of changed my relationship with a lot of people in a very good way. And so I don't know if that might be what you're alluding to.
Well,
you know,
that can be.
Yeah.
It's more liberating.
And my husband and I, you know, we were both taking the classes together, and it was a really good experience for us both to be doing that, you know. It sort of, I think, brought us even closer.
Yeah, by taking a path of liberation together, that could certainly happen.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I don't even have your wheel in front of me, but I was just, by knowing your rising sign, I know sort of what could be happening on the descendant side, which is dealing with relationship stuff.
Right, right. So you're saying you think that probably I liberated myself, like maybe from toxic relationships and things
yes.
like that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say so, yes. I had some closure with mother issues and all sorts of stuff, you know, kind of a breakthrough there.
Yeah, and when we know your moon sign, we're going to know even more about that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Well, was there anything else you wanted to share with listeners before
Let's
I let you go tonight?
Well, just that they should come to my website, flashsilvermoon.com, and they can reach me at 352-475-2432. I wear a lot of hats, and I love everything that I do. from working with the animals to working with people, and astrology, tarot, psychic development classes. I mean, I do a lot.
I know you do. I mean, I just try to keep up with you on Facebook.
I can hardly keep up with me on Facebook.
Well, Flash, thank you so much for all of your time tonight. I look forward to us doing this every month, and you know, as long as it's fun for us both, you know, we'll we'll just keep doing it. And I'm going to go ahead and, as I segue here into the next part of the show and say goodbye to you, I'm going to play one of your songs because she's an artist, too. I'm going to play Persephone, Persephone Rising.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So, listeners, as I shift gears here and get ready to do the Sacred Salon with you, I'd like you to enjoy Flash's cut from one of her CDs called Persephone Rising. It'll be about 5 minutes, and then we'll start the Sacred Salon. So good night, Flash, and until next month, bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. And here's Persephone Rising.
This is Karen Tate, and I'd like to invite you to come along with me on a sacred journey. It's going to be a guided meditation to the Temple of Isis in Egypt. And this is a meditation that the group I founded used every year for an annual ritual of Isis during springtime. So you are about to enter sacred space. I'd like to invite you to take a minute to settle down,